Okay, we're starting here on the top of Chav Tehrim at Aleph, about 13 lines down on the daf. The Gemara is continuing from the sugya that we left off with yesterday, which is the determination of where we get the limud of chutz l'zmano and chutz l'mkomo from. How do we know where those source of those dinim are, as well as how does the pasuk, which seems to be, or seemingly is speaking about notar, really refer to chutz l'zmano or chutz l'mkomo? So Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, im acho yachel mibzar zevach shlamav. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, kofos necha lishmoa. Bend your ears and listen. B'machachshev le'echo mizivcho b'yom hashlishi hakatuv v'ndaber. The Torah, this pasuk is speaking about a case where someone has a machshava to eat it out on the third day. Not that they're literally eating it on the third day, but they have a machshava to have it chutz l'zmano. Or the other possibility, or maybe it's someone who literally is eating from their korban on the third day, meaning that it's notar. Amart, achar shehu kasher. The korban was brought, and it was totally fine. Yachzor v'yipasil. Afterwards, or if so, afterwards it'll become pasul. How could it be that a korban that was already kasher, then you would do something on the third day, and that retroactively would make it pasul? So Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva responded to him, hey, he says, we do, why not? Matzinu b'zav v'zava v'shomeret yom k'neged yom. Shehen b'chezkat ta'ara says that we do have such a case. We have a situation in which the zav, the zava, and the shomeret yom k'neged yom have a chazaka of being tahor. V'kevin shiru, and as soon as they see it, satru, then they undermine it, and they retroactively make it all tamei. They ruin their chazaka. So even though they were already tahor, or considered to be, or classified as tahor, nevertheless, when they see a riata tumah, it undermines everything that they've done until this point in time. Afadal ditamah, so don't be so surprised here. Al zeh, afu pishu chshar, even though the korban was already kasher, was already good, shiachzor v'yifso, that afterwards, when he does something wrong on the third day, that'll have impact on this korban, and it'll be retroactively make it pasul. Now, what the cases are exactly of Zav Zava and the Shomer Tiyom Keneged Yom is somewhat controversial here between the Rishonim. Rashi explains by the Zav and the Zava, so if you look in Rashi, it says Shepasku, V'itchilu Mnot Yimei Sipuran. A Zav and a Zava have to count Shiva Yimei Tahara, they count 7 days of Tahara. So Rashi says they already stopped their Tuma, their flow had stopped, and they begun already to count their 7 days of Tahara. And they went ahead and they counted 4 or 5 days. If they see another re'iyah after 4 or 5 days, when they already said 4 or 5 days of Tara, that undermines the whole thing, and they have to restart their count for the Shiva Yimei Tara. So according to Rashi, that's what Rabbi Akiva was referring to when he spoke to Rabbi Eliezer and says, look, we have this type of a concept that you have a Chezka Tara. Here they're already 4 or 5 days, they are not seeing any re'iyah. Then Pitom, all of a sudden they see a re'iyah, and that undermines or retroactively undermines the entire counting over here. And he has to restart the count of the Shiva Yimei Tara. Then when it comes to Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, the same is true. A woman who has an Ri'ah when you made Ziv'ah, a woman in Minat Torah, if she has a Ri'at Nida, she's Tamei or Tamei'ah for 7 days. After those 7 days, she goes to the mikveh and she's Tahor right away. The subsequent 11 days after those first 7 days of Tumar were called Yimei Ziva. In those days, if she has a Ri'ah 1 day or 2 days, that's called a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. She has to keep the next day B'Tahara in order to be Tahor. If she sees 3 days in a row, she becomes a Zava Gdola. A Zava Gdola has the same din as we said before by Gazava Zava. She needs Shiva Yimei Nikiyim. Today we're Choshesh in some senses for Zava Gdola, and that's why we require all women to have Shiva Yimei Tahara. That's a Chumrah, Sheikhmiru, Benot Yisrael, Atzman. We'll see that when we get to Masechet Nidah. But for our purposes over here, in those 11 days of Yimei Ziva, if she has 1 day of Tumah, she has 1 Ri'iyah, then she has to wait the subsequent day B'Tahara. Now, Nidah goes to the mikveh during the day. Not like we do today where she goes to the mikveh at night, but she goes to the mikveh during the daytime. So here, this Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom goes to the mikveh during the day, and then she has to wait for the Harav Shemesh on the next day. So on the second day, where she's already gone to the mikveh, she should be Tahor. Then, all of a sudden, she has a Ri'ah on that day before the sunset. That undermines it, and she ruins her Yom Keneged Yom, the day of Tahara that she did Keneged Yemei Tuman. Now again, if it's only the second day, then she'll keep the third day, but Tahara will be fine. If it's the third day already, then she becomes a Zava Gdola. So each of these two cases, where we have already a Chezka Tahara, meaning of a Chazoko, that these people already have begun a Sfira of Tahara, either by the Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, she's gone to the Mikveh already, or by the case of the Zav and the Zava, they've begun their count of the Shiva Yemei Tahara. In each of those instances, there's already some sort of Tahara, they've already begun the process of being Tahor. Nevertheless, when they have Yeah, it undermines everything, and they have to restart their whole count. That's how Rashi explains it over here. On the other hand, Tosfos says, Perish Bekuntris, and he brings down Rashi's explanation. He says, V'kasha, de'en zekaroi chazka tahara. Why, by the fact that you've kept 4 days or 5 days of the 7 days with Tara, why do you have a Chezka Tara? You don't have a Chezka. You have a Chezka Tuma. You're Tamei. Until you have 7 days of Tara, you're Tamei. Where do you get a Chezka Tara out of that? So Tosos explains over here, no. Elanira Demari Bishvi Shelehen Achashitavlu. The case over here is a case where it's on the seventh day after they went to the mikveh. They had full 7 days of Tara. On the seventh day they went for the mikveh, and now they're waiting for the Erev Shemesh. Now they're waiting for the sun to set on the seventh day. So they're already, they have a Chezka Tara, because they're basically a Tvul Yom at that point in time. And a Tvul Yom just waiting for the sunset to happen, something that will happen in the Mela by itself. And therefore, now they have a Chezka Tara. If they have a sighting after they've gone to the mikveh on the seventh day, that will undermine everything and they'll have to restart. So that's what Tosa says the case is here by Zav and Zava. And the same will be true by Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. Not when she went to the mikveh in the morning, but if she goes to the mikveh later in the afternoon already, and it's very close to the Erev Shemesh, they already will say that she has a Chezka Tara, and that Chezka Tara just has to have the sun set, and nevertheless, if she has a little bit in between, that undermines everything. So that's what Tosa says are the cases over here. Now the Gemara continues. So Rabbi Akiva had questioned the reasoning behind Rabbi Eliezer's interpretation of the Pasuk to mean that it's talking about Machshava, because how could you have a Maaseh 3 days later undermine the original Maaseh? Rabbi Akiva says, we have other examples of that. So I don't think that's a good too. So Amar Lei, so Rabbi Eliezer gives another attempt at it about how we can explain this Pasuk talking about Machshava. Rabbi Meir, HaMakriv. Bishat hakravahu nifsal, v'enu nifsal bishlishi. So it says a makriv oto. So by the makriv, we saw this yesterday, the makriv means that the time of hakrava, there's a problem. Well, the time of hakrava, you're not on the third day. So how could you have a problem of hakrava about the third day? There must be that you have a makshovo about the third day. So that's a bishat hakravahu nifsal, v'enu nifsal bishlishi. And it's not nifsal on the third day. Oh, enu mer makriv, elezeh kohen makriv. As we saw yesterday, what's the possibility? But Hamakriv Oto, who is Pasul? Is the Korban Pasul? Or is the Kohen himself Pasul? Maybe the Kohen should be Pasul because he did something wrong. Kshomer Oto, when it says Oto, Hamakriv Oto, Bezevach Umidaber, Hamakriv Oto, that is Pasul. What's the Oto? The Oto is referring to the Zevach, the Korban itself. The Korban itself is problematic. Ve'enu Midaber B'Kohen. It's nothing about the Kohen. So that's a limud that Pasul is speaking about Machshava, not about actual Notar. Comes to the fact that it says Hamakriv Oto. Hamakriv Oto. At the time of Hakrava, the problem is established, and the problem that is Oto. The Zevach is problematic, not the Kohen himself. So similar to the limud that we had yesterday. Now, Ben Azai Omer, Oto. No, the word Oto is not used for this limud. Matam Vodomer, Lefishin, Emarlotachel, Shalomo. It says, by your Korban, when you make a neder, you're not allowed to delay in bringing that neder. Yocholaf me'acher nidro. I would think possibly that if you passed over the deadline for bringing your neder, whether that's shlosh regalim or shlosh regalim kesidram, or if you specified when you would bring it, if you fail to do so and then you try to bring the korban after that point in time, I would think lo yiretzeh that it would be no good. Below yiretzeh, tamad omer oto, oto below yiretzeh. Only machshevet pigul has a din of lo yiretzeh, but a lo te'acher l'shamo, a neder that is delayed, or if you go over the time period in which one is allowed to bring a neder, that doesn't have a din of lo yiretzeh. Ve'ena me'acher nidro below yiretzeh. Achim Yomim, we have a third din here that's being learned out. Lo yichashev, b'machshava hu nifsal. The Achirim say that our pasuk is talking about machshava because the pasuk stipulates or says the problem as lo yichashev. It should not be considered. The word lo yichashev is strange. That's not the way you say something is pasul. So when it says lo yichashev, it must be talking about machshava. Ve'en rivshal b'shlishi, and it's not becoming pasul on the third day. So now Gemara says, "Uben Azai, the bezevach hakatuv midaber veinu bekohen." How does Ben Azai know that if he uses the word oto to teach us about the problem of neder that you went over the deadline, then he doesn't have the word oto. And then he has the word makriv. Makriv could be referring to the kohen himself or to the zevach. Without the word oto, how does he know that we're speaking about zevach over here? So Mar says, you can use the limud that we just saw from Achirim. Achirim learn out that we're talking about Machshova here, but from the word Lo Yechashev. The Achirim make their limud from the fact that the word Lo Yechashev is extraneous in the Pasuk, because the Pasuk uses Lo Yiretzeh in the other instance. So here, Lo Yechashev must be for a drasha, and they learned that meant, Lo Yechashev means Machshova Anachnu Midabrim. We're talking about something that has to do with thought. Now, the fact that the Torah, or the Pasuk, has to tell you that it's b'machshava, ve'enu nifsal b'shlishi, and it doesn't become Pasul on the third day, but immediately, then we must be talking about a Zevach, because that's only relevant to the Zevach itself. Because if you're talking about the Zoveach, the one who's doing the Karban, then lami pasel b'shlishi. What would be the Havamina that would be Pasul on the third day? Because he didn't do any sin there on the third day. The one who eats it, The one who consumes it on the third day is the problematic person, not the one who's makrivit, the one who brought it. So the fact that the Torah formulates it in such a manner of shlishi on the third day clearly indicates to us that we're not talking about a makriv over here, we're not talking about the kohen himself, but rather about the zevach. But the zevach, the problem is the same. Whether it's on the third day or immediately, the problem is with the same object, with the zevach. You're talking about the individuals causing the problem, the kohen causes the problem when you're talking about makshava. You're talking about yom ha-shlishi, you're talking about the ochel that's the problematic person. So that can't be the explanation of the pasuk, and from the achirim we'll know that we're speaking about a zevach. The other possibility is you learn it out, me lo yiretzeh. The fact that it says lo yiretzeh is zivchahu. It says lo yiretzeh, again, the terminology of lo yiretzeh, something that will not be accepted, something that will not be a ritzui before a Kaddish Baruch Hu, that's not something about that's mukrab, something that's put on the mizbeach, something that's offered to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, can be lo yiretzeh. When you talk about a Kohen, you can't call him lo yiretzeh. That doesn't make sense. So again, the lashon that's used in the pasuk lo yiretzeh indicates to us that we're speaking about the zevach, not speaking about the Kohen. So here we had three limudim. We had the limud of Rabbi Eliezer, we had the limud of Ben Azai, and the limud of Achirim. Now, Ben Azai will have to possibly use part of the Achirim's limud, or an additional limud of Lo Yiretzeh, in order to get to the final conclusion, which is, all of them are trying to determine here, that we're talking about a machshava, not about Yom HaShlishi, number one, and number two is, that we're speaking about the Korban, and not the Kohen. So each of them has their limud. When it comes to Rabbi Lezer, it's a makriv oto. Hakrava teaches us it's machshava. Oto teaches us it's the korban, not the zebach. Ben Azai uses the oto for something else. So he has makriv to teach us that we're talking about shat hakrava. That's a time of machshava. How do we know it's not the kohen and the korban? That he either learns out like achirim, which we'll see in a second from lo yechashev, or from lo yiretzeh, which is a terminology used by korbanot, not used by the kohen. The achirim learn it out from the word lo yechashev. Now be considered, lo yechashev is bimach. Machshava, talking about machshava, not talking about a actual notar. And from that also, the word lo yechashev is the fact that the Torah formulates it in such a manner of shlishi on the third day clearly indicates to us that we're not talking about a makriv over here. We're not talking about the kohen himself, but rather about the zevach. So now the Gemara continues and asks more questions about the other limudim. How do they learn out from other places? So let's look. So Gemara says, Uben Azai oto belo yiretzeh, v'en macher nidro belo yiretzeh, mehacha nafko. He learns out the fact that a korban who goes over the period that's designated for bringing the neder, the problem of lo yiretzeh applies only to the korban here of machshava and not to lo te'acher. Is that where he learns it from? Me'de'acherim nafka. We have another limud from the Braita, the Tanya, acherim omim yochel he'b'chor shibra shnato, a b'chor which has to be brought in the first year of its life to the Mizbeach in Yerushalayim as a b'chor that's offered up to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. What happens if it passes over the year? Meaning that it's overextended beyond the time period that it's allowed, designated that year. I would have thought, kipsulei mekudoshim, if so, that I would have thought since it's like psulei mekudoshim and it should be pasul, meaning that you can no longer bring it as a karban, and over there it's mekish b'chor l'maser, the pasuk in Dvarim, which speaks about those things that you bring before a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The pasuk mentions maser, and also mentions b'chor. So there's a hekesh. Ma ma'aserenu nifsal mishana l'chaver ta'a. Just like ma'aser that goes from one year to the next is not pasul. How do we know that? Because we have vidui ma'aser. Vidui ma'aser is the end of 3 years. So it's clear from year to year that there's no problem with ma'aser. Only at the end of the third year do you do vidui ma'aser and you have to take everything out of the bayit. So we see there's no psul from year to year. So also over here, af b'chor, you know, nifsal mishana l'chaver ta'a. You see that a b'chor is not nifsal mishana l'chaver ta'a. So here's an obligation that you have to bring up to the mikdash. And nevertheless, it's not pasul just because you went over the year. So why should there be a havamina by the nether that to be the same? So Gemara says, no, itzrich sakadat chamin. I would have thought, hani mili b'chor de la bar hartzahu. I would have thought by b'chor, that's an obligation, a chiyuv to bring it to the mikdash. But it's not a karban of ritzui. It's not an appeasement before a kodesh baruch, as Rashi says, an ola that you bring is mechaper al asay. Ashlamim is mevin doron. It's a gift to a kodesh baruch. To bring shalom ben Yisrael leviyim shibet shemayim. Those are types of korbanot that are brought l'ritzui before a kodesh baruch hu. That's not what a bechor is. A bechor is an obligation. It's a chuvah, but it's not the ritzui before a kodesh baruch hu. So the fact is that it's not a ritzui. Maybe that's what allows it to go over the year and not be problematic. So honey, we would have thought bechor de la baratzohu of a kochim de bnei artzon. You know, one time at a shlamim and ola and then there that they come into ritzui a kodesh baruch hu and you don't do what you're supposed to do. Maybe the ritzui is gone. Emelo, there too. Maybe there shouldn't be any ritzui mar. Kamash malon. We learn that out from Ben Azai. The Gemara says, "Vakata mehotam." So you learn that from the din of Azai Otolo below your etzeh, and not a cher below your etzeh. Wait, v'hai yabachachet. It says in the end of the pasuk of Lo Te'acher L'Shalmo when you should not delay in bringing the korban. It says because if you delay in bringing the korban, then you have a chait. So the Gemara's arshin's b'chachait. only you have a chet. The bringer of the korban has a chet. V'lor b'korban cha chet, but the korban itself has no problem with it. If the korban has no problem with it, then it can still be brought. So when it says no, Ben Azai uses that pasuk for something else. Help me by lei v'yab chet v'lo b'ishtecha chet. Teach you that chet in you and not in your wife. Because alchadat chamin, I would have thought hova amar Rabbi Al Azar. Well, as it teaches us v'yitema Rabbi Yochanan any shtoshal adam meitab, woman's wife doesn't pass away. L'mkei mevakshim emenu mamon ve'in lo. They ask for money from him and he doesn't have it. Shenemar, because it says mishleim en lecha l'shalem l'malikach mishkavcha mitachtecha. If you don't have what to pay, why should they take? Mishkavcha means the bed that's under you. Here they're looking as allegorical, but being your wife, mitachtecha. V'hayavon debalacher nami meita. So that, the same thing over here. I would have thought by the avon of lote acher that she would also die. The stone would also die. Kamash Malan, that doesn't happen over here. The chet will be on you. V'lo b'ishtechachet, and your wife will not have the chet. So that's what Ben Azai learns out from that pasuk, and therefore he doesn't have that pasuk available to teach us about the delay in bringing a korban. So therefore, in the conclusion, and we're going to discuss this in a second, what exactly is the issue of the wife over here? It's a machlokas between Rashi and Tosafot, what the issue is over here, but let's just summarize what we saw until this point in time. Ben Azai, we actually have three psukim teach us the same thing, that when the korban goes on beyond the time period when it's supposed to be brought, the korban is not posu and can still be brought. We have Ben Azai's limud of oto, lo yiretzeh, only pigul has a problem of lo yiretzeh, but not a delay, lo te'acher l'shamo. We have the pasuk that is found by the Bechor, which is the hekesh between Maaser and Bechor. It teaches us even when the Bechor extends beyond the year period which was supposed to be brought, there is no problem with bringing the Bechor. The last pasuk is B'chayar B'chachay V'lo B'chachachet. You have a chet and not your korban. So Gemara says we need each of these. The one that we need by Bechor is to teach us, that's the din by Bechor, that when it extends over the year, there's no problem in bringing the korban. But that's only a korban that's a chuvah, but not ritzui before a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I would have thought by a korban ritzui that there's an additional aspect which requires you to do it on time. If you don't do it right, how can it be a ritzui before a Kodesh Baruch Hu? That's what the pasuk of Ben Azai teaches us. Oto b'lo yiretzeh, only pigul has lo yiretzeh, but not lo te'acher l'shamo. So that teaches us that it's okay even after the time period, even though it's ritzui, it's still okay to bring it. And the last pasuk of Vayah b'chachet v'lo b'karvan chachet, even though the Gemara darshan that for teaching us that you don't have a problem in the korban, nevertheless Ben Azai uses that for a different limud entirely. He uses that to teach of lo b'chachet. You will have a chet, but not ishtecha. Your wife will not have a chet. What's the chet that we're speaking about here? Rashi claims that it's gezel. Mamano shegazal, a person who steals money, and they're coming to make the claim or demanding payment in repayment from him. And it says that make sure that you repay it. And I would have thought by gezel, if you don't return the mamon, the pasuk in Mishlei tells us, if you don't pay in the chalash alim, if you don't have what to pay, your wife will be taken instead. Then one will lose their life over this mamon of gezel. So that's what Rashi says. I would have a havamina that would be true by the korban of neder as well. And then the pasuk teaches us, you will have the sin, but not your wife. Your wife will not be punished about the delay of you bringing the korban, even though she will be taken in the case of mamon shegazal. That's the way Rashi reads it. Tosfos takes issue with Rashi right away. He says, I don't understand. Nira demari b'neder. Tosfos says, I don't think so. I think this delay over here is talking about neder. What do you mean the delay? Delay, the pasuk in Mishlei is talking about someone who delays in bringing their neder. Damar perek sheni de Shabbos. As in Pameh Madlikin, in the second perek of Shabbos, it's the last day of Chanukah, so it's slightly min yom ha'diyoma. It says, Bavon nedarim ishto shel adam meita. By the sin of nedarim, a person's wife passes away. So that one has to be very careful about taking the darim, because that could cause the death of his wife. Shenemar lami kach mishkavcha mitaktech, and they bring the pasuk for Mishlei. V'hadar yisurish chalcha b'chachet v'lo b'ishtechachet. If that's the case, then how can you make such a distinction of b'chachet v'lo b'ishtechachet? Because if we say that the wife dies by avon nidarim, how come over here we're saying no, she does not die by avon nidarim? So what's the difference over here? So that's what Tosu says. V'hadar yisurish chalcha b'chachet v'lo b'ishtechachet. Ma'ir b'im shalem achar kein elish avar al bal te'acher. So the question is whether he ever fulfills the neder. If he never fulfills the neder, then ishto meita, then his wife will die because of the lack of fulfillment of the neder. The case over here is a case where he does fulfill the neder. When he fulfills the neder, achar kach, but he delayed and he did it after the time period, there it's b'chochet. You will have a chet, b'ishtachal chet. Your wife will be freed. She will no longer carry that burden of you delaying and bringing the neder, but nevertheless, you will have a chet. So that's the difference. The difference is, does he ever pay for it, or he never pays the neder, or he never fulfills the neder. If he fulfills the neder, then his wife is safe, and he has the chet. If he never feels the neder, then bavon nedarim ishto meita or bani meita, that his children, his family, or his wife passes away because he did not keep the nedarim. Okay, now the next piece of the Gemara. Achirim amim, ma'machshava hu nifsal, ve'inu nifsal b'shlishi. The Achirim darshan over here that the problem over here is machshava, because it says, lo yichashev, ve'inu nifsal b'shlishi. Ve'Rebbe Eliezer, lo yichashev, what does he do with this extra part of the pasuk? Because he doesn't need lo yichashev, he learned now machshava already from ha'makriv oto. So what does he do with the word lo yichashev? So the Gemara says, lo yarebo machshavot acherot, machshavot zarot. He can't have any other machshavot with it. So that's what we learned before, that when it comes to pigol, when it comes to chutz lizmano, chutz l'mekomo, you have to have everything else in the korban be fine. If that the matirav, the rest of the korban is brought, kira'ui behechsher, it's not a problem. But if you have any other machshava in that korban, then that will ruin it and make it pasul and have no impact in terms of chutz lizmano and chutz l'mekomo. Because at this point in time, you already have another psul in the korban. So that's what he uses that for. How do we know that machshavot ruin each other? Rav Mari learned this. How do I know someone has a machshava by kodshim, a problematic machshava by kodshim that ruins it, that he will get malkot? There's a law of lo yechashev that you shouldn't have improper machshavot when it comes to a korban. How can you claim he's going to get malkot? It's a lav shein bo maaseh. V'chol lav shein bo maaseh ain lokin alav. When you have a lav that has no action associated with it, you don't get malkot for it. We learn that from the juxtaposition of the parasha of makot in the Torah to the parasha of lo tachsom shor b'disho. That has to be something that you do actively in order to be chayav for a lav. Not something that you do passively or something you do through machshava. So he answered up. Barmalei, Rav Mari responded to him, says, no, it's no problem. This is Rabbi Yehuda. This is according to Rabbi Yehuda, the town of Rabbi Yehuda. Amar, lav shein bo maaseh, lokin alav. There is an opinion of Rabbi Yehuda who says that you do get, by lav shein bo maaseh, you do get malkot. We learn that from the fact that by the pasuk of notar, it says that if someone who leaves over a carbon past the proper time, then when it comes the next morning, they have to burn it by Ishi Saref. So Rabbi Yehuda says you don't get malkot from that because it's a lav and itak lasei. It's a lav that afterwards has an assay to rectify it. Since it has an assay to rectify, you don't get malkot. So he asks Rabbi Yehuda right on the spot, what do you mean it's a lav shin itak lasei? There's a problem even before that. It's a lav shein bo maaseh. There's no maaseh. When you do notar, you leave it over. You're not doing any action. You're just leaving it over. It's a passive violation of the lav. So that's how we know that Rabbi Yehuda must believe that lav shein bo maaseh lokin alav, because he requires lav shin itak lasei to say you don't get malkot over there. And he believes that a lav shein bo maaseh lokin alav. So that's what Rav Mari says over here. Lo yech that you get malkot for a bad machshava by makodshim, that's according to Rabbi Yehuda, who believes that lav shein bo maaseh lokin alav. According to the first member of Rabbi Yanai, where we said over there, lo yechashev comes to teach us that you can't have any other machshavot, because any other machshavot will make it no longer pigol, no longer chutz lizmano, they'll make it into pasul. Once the garment's pasul, there's no chiyuv anymore of chutz lizmano. So now Gemara continues with the Mishnah. We quoted this Mishnah earlier in yesterday's daf, which is Zeklal. This is the principle that we get. Kol shochet v'hamikabel v'amalech v'zorek. One does one of the four avodot. It's O, shochet, O amikabel, O amalech, v'zorek le'echol davar shedakol le'echol, to eat something that normally is eaten, ulaktir davar shedakol aktir, or to put something on the mizbeach that is normally placed on the mizbeach. That's what we said before, by pigo, we're talking about shtei achilot, achilat adam, and achilat mizbeach. So on that, anything that is the derech to put on the mizbeach, or derech to be eaten by man, if a person has a mind, kzayit, to have a kzayit of that chutz limkomo, pasul ve'im bo karet. If they have that in mind in terms of kzayit, then it's pasul and there's no karet. Chutz is mano, if they can do it outside of the normal time, pigo v'chayivin alav karet. That it's pigul, and there is a chiyuv karet. Ubeovach yarkiv a matir kemitzvato. This is what we've been saying all along. As long as everything else is done properly, as long as the matir is done properly, then if everything else is perfect except for this machshava, or there's no other thing else besides machshava chutz lizmano, then it becomes pigul v'yish bo karet. Ketzad kerav a matir kemitzvah. How we have a case like this? Shachat b'shtika. This shchita without any machshava. Kibel v'yilech v'zarak. Chutz lizmano. If he did all of these, or he did one of these avodot chutz lizmano. Oh, she shachat chutz lizmano. On the other hand, he had the shechita with the machshava chutz lizmano. V'kibel v'alach v'zarak v'shtika. He did all the rest v'shtika. Oh, she shachat v'kibel v'alach v'zarak chutz lizmano. He did all four of them at chutz lizmano. Zeu she makriv matir k'mitzvato. Then it's done properly. The only machshava that was problematic about this korban, the only thing problematic about this korban was chutz lizmano, the machshavet chutz lizmano. Other than that, everything was done perfectly. That's kakreva matir k'mitzvato. Ketzad lo kareva matir k'mitzvato. How do I have it when you have the matir brought and it's not chutz lizmano because there's another problem with the korban? It's okay. Shachat chutz limkamo. Did shechita, and he had in mind he would eat it outside of the normal place that it's eaten. Kibel v'ilach v'zarak chutz lizmano. On the other hand, he did one of these other avodot. Are all of them chutz lizmano? Oh, shechat chutz lizmano. He did shechita with the intention of eating it out of its normal time period. And then kibel v'ilach v'zarak. He did the other of three avodot chutz limkamo, or he did one of them chutz lizmano. Oh, sheshachat v'kibel v'zarak chutz limkamo. Did all of them chutz limkamo? Obviously, over there problematic. Probably the girsah should be chutz mekomo ulizmano. He had both machshavot in each of them. Or he had a pesach chatat shechat shelo lishman. He did everything chutz lizmano, and then he did a pesach and a chatat. He did lo lishman, which is posel the karban. Kibel alach zarak chutz lizmano. He did any of all the other vodot chutz lizmano. O shechatrat chutz lizmano. Did the shechita of chutz lizmano. Kibel alach v'zarak shelo lishman. He did any of those other vodot or all of them shelo lishmo, because over there shelo lishma by the chatat and the pesach makes them pasul. O shechat v'kibel alach v'zarak taman shelo lishman. He did all of them lo lishman, which makes it a pasul karban. And there you won't have pigul. There you will have a psul, the carbon will be psul, but it won't have a chiyuv karet that is associated with it or eating of the basar, because here it's a carbon psul and not a carbon of pigul of chutz lizmano, which involves a chiyuv karet if one consumes the basar of such a carbon. Because here you didn't karev a matir. The rest of it wasn't done right. There was another problem with the carbon, whether it's chutz lim kamo, whether it's lo lishma, or whether it's the fact that you had jointly chutz lim kamo and chutz lizmano, all of those present a problem in the carbon. We won't allow it to be karev a matir kehilchato, and therefore there won't be any chutz lizmano in that case. So le'achol kezayit b'chutz, kezayit l'machar, kezayit l'machar, kezayit b'chutz. The person has in mind to eat a kezayit outside of the place and tomorrow, or kezayit l'machar or tomorrow and kezayit b'chutz. Kechatzi zayit b'chutz, kechatzi zayit machar. Half a kezayit b'chutz outside of the makom, chutz l'mkomo, and chatzi zayit outside chutz l'zmano, kezayit zayit machar, or chatzi zayit chutz l'zmano, kechatzi zayit b'chutz, and chatzi zayit chutz l'mkomo, pasul. Vein bo karet. There are mitzdareif to make the korban pasul, but there is no chiyuv karet with this. Now we're going to see in the Gemara why the Gemara goes into this second part of the Mishnah, which seems to be repeating part of the first part of the Mishnah. So there'll be a machlokas about why there is the second half of the Mishnah. Now Amar Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with everything in the Mishnah, and he says, Zeklal, this is the principle. If the chutz l'zmano was the first machshava that one has, then everything else after that is meaningless. Pigo v'chayv nalav karet, because he believes tfos lashon rishon, take the first lashon, whatever you said first is koveya. Therefore, if you have machshevet chutz l'zmano first, that's it. The carbon comes pigo and chayev nalav karet, doesn't matter what you say and what you do after that. V'machshevet amakom kadmah l'machshevet azman. On the other hand, if you have chutz l'mkomo first and then chutz l'zmano afterwards, pasul v'im bo karet. The carbon is pasul and there is no karet associated with it because the tava tfos lashon rishon, first lashon is chutz l'mkomo, and that's what dictates over here. So therefore, it'll be pasul v'im bo karet. It doesn't matter which one goes first. You have to, if you have chutz l'zmano with any other machshava, then it becomes a problem of psul and the in bo karet, because it's no longer just a problem of chutz l'zmano, pasul v'im bo karet. The chok chatzi kazayit laktir, chatzi kazayit, person intended to eat a half a kazayit, and to maktir chatzi kazayit, mean that there are two achilot, v'chilat adam and chilat mizbeach. So it's a chatzi zayit of achilat adam and chatzi zayit of that which goes on achilat mizbeach. Kasher, she'in achil v'aktora mitztarfim. There's no connection between the achilat adam and achilat mizbeach. They're totally separate psulim, and therefore they can't connect. As opposed to where one has a machshava when it comes to chutz l'zmano, chutz l'mkamo, as long as he has it about one achilah, whether it's achilat adam or achilat mizbeach, they can be mitzdareif. But when it comes to the achilat mizbeach, achilat adam, they are not mitzdareif whatsoever. So now the Gemara comes down to a second half of the Mishnah wants to understand. The machlokas here between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is involved when you had two, the machshavot and two separate avodot. You have the machshavot chutz lizman and chutz l'mekamo, two separate avodot, that's where their machlokas is. But if it's done in a single avoda, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees over there that the machshavot, doesn't matter which one is first, everything is pasul, because you had it in the same avoda. You can't say tfos l'shon rishon there, because it's the first avoda that you have a problematic machshavot, and in that machshavot you had both chutz l'mekamo and chutz lizmano. Rabbi Yehuda amar af avoda achat machlok. The machlok involves both parts of the Mishnah over here. According to Ilfa, the ratio b'shtei avodot seifa, not b'shtei avodot. According to Ilfa, the fact that the ratio of the Mishnah is talking about two avodot, and the seifa too will be talking about two avodot. Therefore, the machlokas is only about two avodot. And that's where Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. But when it comes to one avodah, Rabbi Yehuda would agree to the Chachamim. If that's the case, why did the Mishnah repeat the same case in the Reish and the Seifa? The Seifa brings the additional case of Chatzi Kezayit. And that's what the Chiddush of the Seifa is, that even by Chatzi Kezayit of Chutz Zmano and Chutz Limkamo, that they would be Mitztaref over there of Chatzi Kezayit, Chatzi Kezayit. That's the Chiddush of the second half of the Mishnah. But both of them are talking about Shtei Avodot. On the other hand, El Rabbi Yochanan, Reish of Shtei Avodot, Seifa Bodah Achat. Well, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it makes sense why the Seifa is there because of Bodah Achat, but it's inconsistent. It makes the Mishnah inconsistent. It makes the first part of the Mishnah talking about two Avodot, and the second half of the Mishnah talking about Bodah Achat. So true, in terms of a Chiddush, we understand why the second half of Mishnah is coming to teach us. Rabbi Yehuda argues even b'avodah achat, but in terms of the consistency of the Mishnah, it seems inconsistent. Umar says in reishib shtei avodot sefer ben avodah achat ben b'shtei avodot. That's true. The second half of the Mishnah means whether to avodot or avodah achat. So that's what the second half of the Mishnah comes to teach us, the additional chiddush of avodah achat, and that's why. But it's also talking about shtei avodot. It's not that it's not shtei avodot. It's also shtei avodot. Reishib the Mishnah is shtei avodot. Sefer Mishnah is shtei avodot and avodah achat. Either one of them. So the chiddush will be there that in shtei avodot the chiddush will be about chatzi gezeit that we didn't have in the ratio. As far as avodah achat, that will be the chiddush that the second half of the Mishnah brings to us, and that's where Rabbi Yehuda will also disagree, even by avodah achat. Okay, we'll stop over here.